Wolf sticks his head out the window. Doug and Wolf, mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, there it is right now, Douglas. Yes, indeed. Hour number two of the Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning, broadcasting out of Cowbell Fridays. We got a bunch of people down on the field looking up at what is going on up there. That's right. Slide on your Jordache jeans and take out that neon comb and brush back that fine feathered hair, Basinonians, because the Doug and Wolf Show is broadcasting on a Cowbell Friday. That's right, equipment boys. What do you say? You go ahead and bang that cowbell. Hour number two of the Doug and Wolf Show. Punch it!
Now, why do I get the feeling Minch was not in a celebratory mood at 6:02? Where was Loverboy at 6:02?
It was here. Where were you?
There was nothing going on. Oh, all right. Well, then I didn't know.
We actually played it yesterday as you were making your way down. That's all right, Basinonians. We will persevere. Will we not? Punch it and bang that thing if you got it. You want a piece of my heart. Douglas, are you ready to broadcast?
That's what I do.
Command and control, are you ready to broadcast? We're ready to broadcast here at State Farm Stadium. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning, out at training camp. Even though, Douglas, we mourn the loss of you, of course.
You know how creepy it is to hear somebody say that? Those are words you should never hear about yourself.
Well,
I think you know
metaphorically what I was saying.
If you don't know, we'll just tell you. Most radio stations try to hide problems. We don't.
They gave you the cowbell on that
one. I know. We're the Doug and Wolf Show. We create problems for other people, so everybody else has to deal with us. I am in the Auction Community Studios. I am supposed to be live in Glendale, and I can't tell you how scared I am of the drive home today because I had it all planned out. I had enough gas to get from Goodyear to Glendale and then get down. There's a Costco at the 101 and the 10. So I was 4 miles away from Costco, get my gas, and I'm okay. I don't even know if I have enough gas now to get down to a gas station here by the station. Because I was on fumes to get here to the station because this was not part of the plan. We had some technical issues, so I came back here to the Auction Community Studios. So even though we're about ready to talk Suns, Wolf is under the strict orders that if anything happens at Cards Camp that would normally generate a reaction from him, react anyway. Because that's why you're there. So as we talk Suns, if something happens, we'll get immediately input on what's going on there. But last night exposed the second dumbest rule in all of sports. I will always say this. Feel free to tweet us at DougAndWolf987. If you possibly think you can think of two rules dumber than what I'm going to give you, I can guarantee you can't. Rule number one that is the dumbest rule in sports. Wolf, you look like a kicker. So we'll say you're the kicker and I'm on your team, okay?
Yes.
You take a kickoff, you kick it, I'm on your team, and it's an onside kick. And yes. I catch it off the bounce. Like it bounces right into my lap while I'm running.
Yes.
I am not allowed to advance that.
Why?
I don't know. No one can justify the stupidity of that rule. Like if I catch it while I'm running and run straight into the end zone, we get the ball right where I caught it.
Yes.
We don't get any of the advancement. Now, that's
what
stupid.
What about the other team? What about the other team? What about they?
The quote-unquote defense or receiving team can advance an onside kick. They are allowed to.
Okay, so they could catch it and run the other way.
Yes, but we can't catch it and keep running. Stupid. Rule number two that is the dumbest rule in all of sports is how the NBA runs their draft. How do you set a time limit on trades and then say we have to approve anything else you do so we get this stupid stuff where Mikal Bridges is wearing a 76ers hat when everybody knows he's not a 76er? And it happened last night.
With the 29th pick in the 2021 NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns select Dayron Sharpe.
Keep in mind, no, we did not.
From the University of North Carolina.
Why does that kid go through the pomp and circumstance of being a son when he's not a son? Why do they do that? Fix it. There's too many intelligent marketing people in the NBA. I don't know if you watched the draft last night. They had an unbelievable tribute last night to a deceased Kentucky player who was training for the draft and died in a car wreck. So I'm so amazed at the brilliance of these people in the NBA. These are incredible people that in the last 5 years have done so many great things on draft night. And Adam Silver is a great commissioner. And yet none of you are smart enough to figure out how to let teams that are drafting players just draft the players they're drafting? Explain that.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's a great point, Douglas. Do you feel better now? Because I know you've been talking about getting that off your chest.
I had to.
For a long
time. Those two rules drive me nuts. Now, about the trade. Tell me Chris Paul's coming back. I think this is a terrible trade for the Suns to pass up on some of the point guards that were there at 29 if you got Chris Paul only for a year or he's leaving. And I think it's a great trade if you are getting Chris Paul on a multi-year contract.
Listen to what you just said right there. Think of James Jones and listen to what you just said. This trade was all about Chris Paul coming back to the Suns.
That's how I feel.
This trade, Doug Lease, was a harbinger of what the Suns expect to happen.
I agree.
And what they obviously expect to happen is Chris Paul is coming back. Let us all gather and rejoice. Yeah. Somebody punch the music. Where's the Snoop Dogg? Here we go. Somebody give me the statement, the emphasizer. Somebody.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Chris Paul. Chris Paul, ladies and gentlemen, is coming back.
That's the first.
Isn't that right?
That's the first thing
Jones.
I thought of. When I saw this trade, I immediately thought Chris Paul is returning.
There you go.
That makes the most sense of why this trade should work out very, very well, because you're making the decision of a rookie is not going to get a lot of playing time and is not going to develop, and you want to get a guy that is a good three-point shooter, that's a good veteran, a good team guy, and a good defender. He's not really a point guard, but he can run your offense in a pinch if you have to. You're probably losing Etuan Moore for sure. There's a good chance you're losing Campaign. It's going to be a tough thing for Campaign because he's going to know the best spot for him basketball-wise is probably a son, but this might be the only shot in his life to change his generation financially. So generations of his family. So he's got to jump on that opportunity, and it might be hard for the Suns to come anywhere near the money other teams are going to be able to pay. So I don't know what's going to happen. Bringing in Shamet, it covers your bases if things that are out of your control happen, and it's a perfect fit if Chris Paul is still here. So that's why I do like this trade, because I'm under the assumption, as you are, it signifies Chris Paul is a Sun for more than just 1 year.
Yes, absolutely, Douglas. That's the great thing about it. That was harbinger number two, because harbinger number one for me was the Lakers trade for Russell Westbrook. That to me, that was the first harbinger that Chris Paul was going to stay with the Suns, because Westbrook expunged the Chris Paul option Lakers, at least for me. And I thought the Lakers were the one team that might have the possibility, the one team that somehow, some way, despite what everyone was saying, might be the one team that could possibly sneak in and do some damage to the Suns with Chris Paul. That was harbinger number one. Harbinger number two was James Jones and trading of the 29th pick, because getting Shamet said to me, this is a team, we're pretty much set. Yes, do we need another big body to back up DeAndre Ayton? I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially with Dario Saric right now and the ACL. There's no doubt they need a big body. They got to find this guy, bring him in, an effort-type guy who's going to do nothing but bang underneath, grab some boards, and yell at some people. That's what I want to see right there. But yes, I was so jacked up because harbinger one, harbinger two, Chris Paul's coming back.
And then James Jones, who's going to join us at 9:30 this morning, said what James Jones always says.
I mean, we value experience and capacity, and there's a lot of excitement around the prospects in this draft. There's some really good players. A lot of guys went and fell farther than they probably expected. Their talent and just their talent didn't really match where they were drafted. But for us, you know, it's coming out of the draft with a player that can contribute. And I think we did that in a roundabout way.
So he says, hey, man, draft is over, and we got better, so he's happy. So we'll talk to James Jones about that exact thing coming up at 9:30 this morning. Up next.
Honestly, I hate the term RB1.
Oh, why? We're going to be joined by Chase Edmonds, Arizona Cardinals running back, right before he takes the field. That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Soul.
Hi, this is Kyler Murray, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah. Just setting y'all up for today. You're only good as your last session.
Oh, feels like the Arizona Cardinals are going all in.
Baby.
Ready for this year. I think we will be a lot better.
Two of our offseason goals are becoming more physical as a football team and adding leadership to our locker room.
Here we go!
Baby.
We did some good things last year and made some big strides, and I anticipate us doing even more this season.
Baby.
Let's go!
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
The Doug portion of Doug and Wolf is live in the Auction Community Studios. Ron Wolfley and joined by Chase Edmonds live at State Farm Stadium this morning. Chase, good morning. You just heard that intro. You heard the way that people are talking about the Arizona Cardinals. I'm sure personally you feel like you're always all in. When we watch you play, we can tell you're all in. Do you feel like the exact same thing is going on with the organization, that everybody is all in to fix what happened in the last 2 weeks last year and get yourself to the playoffs?
Yes, sir. First and foremost, man, I appreciate you guys having me on the show, Doug and Wolf, my guys.
Always that's a good cool time of you.
Chatting right on, with Chase. You guys. Yes, sir. But back to the question, yeah, I do feel like as an organization, you know, we're all in this year, man. Obviously, just when you look at teams from a wide perspective in the NFL, when you have a great quarterback like Kyler Murray, especially on his rookie contract, you got to take advantage of those years, man, before you have to do a big payday. So, and I think that's really what we're doing. If you've seen our moves this offseason, got a lot of veterans in this locker room now, a lot of guys with playoff experience and just leaders in this locker room, and really trying to take the next big step as an organization this year.
Chase, I got to tell you right now, if somebody said, name five football players, who are football players that the Arizona Cardinals have, you'd be one of those five guys in that locker room to me. You know the way I feel about this. I asked you when you were a rookie, as a matter of fact, what makes you so sure you're going to be able to contribute on special teams? And you looked at me, I don't know if you remember, Chase.
I do.
You do. And you said, I'm a football player, sir.
Yes, sir.
It was one of my favorite moments, and man, have you proven that out. What are you focused on this year? What are you coming into this camp? Where's your head?
Right. So me, myself, man, I'm focused on just taking that next step and really trying to become a big-time player personally. You know, I have my own personal goals, but really just from a leadership standpoint and setting the tone standpoint, going out there every single day, every single rep, not taking a playoff, you know, and I think that's one thing that we're trying to focus on as a team in training camp. We can't afford a playoff. We can't afford a bad practice, man. The really great teams, the ones who make those deep playoff runs and are just consistent in every facet of the game, they don't take those plays off. And I think that's really helpful that we have these leaders in the locker room, really from a standpoint of just showing the younger guys what it means to be a pro's pro. And so really taking that next step again, leader, whether it's vocally, by example, just going out there every single day, becoming a better player, and hopefully making our room better than, you know, transitioning and making the team better.
This is going to be a good question for you because I don't want you to think about Wolf's ugly face or think about my bald head. I want you to think about a young man getting ready for high school practice this morning, or a kid that's driving to school right now thinking about their whole life. You are 5'9", you're a fourth round pick, you're not good enough for D1, you've got to go to Fordham, nobody thinks you can play in 17 games at your size, blah 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 blah. All the people that have had secret doubts or really doubted you to your face, what do you say to them? What do you want a high school kid to know about being able to overcome?
Man, the one thing that I would say is use it as motivation. You know, I don't hide from that talk. I know some people talk about ignoring the noise, and there's a time and a place when you do want to ignore the noise. I like to ignore the noise when they're talking good about you, just to stay humble and continue to stay hungry. But I used that as motivation when I was a kid, and still do to this day, man. I don't run from it. I don't shy from it. It was something that really just made me into the player that I was, where it turned me into my work ethic to just be a fanatic and just be crazy at it. And that's something that I still do to this day, man. I worked my ass off this whole offseason. I prepared my body like no other. I truly feel like that, and I've come into this year ready to take that next step, and I'm not going to shy away from that.
Chase, I thought it was so you when I heard it, but – You said you didn't like the term RB1. Why right. do you not like that?
Me personally, man, I don't like that term RB1 just because obviously the NFL is a business. Everyone knows that just from the transactions that go on daily. But for me personally, I just felt like when RB1s get labeled, it kind of puts a, like, you know, that spot is already sealed, signed, sealed, delivered. It doesn't matter what goes on in training camp. It doesn't matter about how well of a play is made by a player behind him. And I've kind of always been the guy in that short end of the stick. And I'm not taking away, you know, the talent of the guys in the room that I was competing with. But where I come from, man, you earn everything you get in life. And I feel like in football, you should earn everything you get, no matter what. I mean, obviously, you know, quarterback and, you know, you got the star pass rusher. That's a different story. But to me, I feel like the competitive nature of football, it should never be a label on just the RB1 or, you know, this position, that position. If you really want to build a great team, you got to let every man know that, man, this is a job interview. Every single day you come into this locker room, every single day you come into this building, this organization, you are fighting for your job. You are fighting for that check. Rent is due every single day.
Dude, can I line up next to you? Can I do that? Is man. That all right, dude?
You know, so I wish you could. I wish I could.
Oh, man,
but that's me personally, man. And, you know, someday I do want to be in the front office, and that's how I'm going to run my team, point blank, period. It's just it creates a great culture in the locker room when yep. men know that every single person is held to the same championship standard, and, you know, nobody is safe.
How first of all, if the front office thing doesn't work, motivational speaking or replacing Wolf as a talk show host, you're right there, Chase. I mean, you are right there. There are zero Mr. people Perfect. In this, yeah, there are zero people in this city that don't want to wake up to you every morning to get themselves going. I can tell you that. But follow yeah. along that front office thing. I mean, I want you focused. Good luck on the season. Let's try to get to the Super Bowl. All of those things. But you've got a career after football, so I ask you, how far are you going to start creating those connections? What are you doing? Are you going to ever knock down the draft door and get yourself into the Cardinals war room and say, I want to know what goes on in here? What are you doing for your post-career?
Man, you know, I think I want to do front office just because I remember being a kid always doing Madden franchise, and half the time I wouldn't even play a season. I would just do fantasy draft and try to, like, draft the perfect football team. You know, what was the perfect football team that I could get lined up across the board? I don't know why it intrigued me, but that was just something that always intrigued me. If the front office thing doesn't really work out, man, I would love to be an analyst just because I love talking about the game, bro. I love the game so much. It's so unique. It's such a team game. And, you know, you guys know I'm a sports guy, man. So that gets me going every single day.
Well, Chase, let me challenge you on that.
It fits you really well.
Yeah, it does. Chase, I want to challenge you on this then, because if you ever get into a front office, the hardest thing for front office guys to measure is heart. And yet that's where you specialize as an individual. So how would you measure it in somebody else?
Man, I think you measure heart by you got to see it in person. Sometimes you can see it on the field by passion and on the film, and say you have one of those select few individuals that really just pop out with their heart and with their passion and really with their effort. A lot of times, high motor guys usually have a lot of heart. That's one indication of someone who does that, just with their passion in the game. But I think when you really get to meet an individual, talk to them for a few minutes, and really just get to see their perspective of what they went on through their life. If you ever get a chance to see their work habits, you can kind of measure by that, man. Like, someone with the biggest heart on our team is Dennis Gardeck. And, you know, I tell people all the time, and me and Dennis joke about this all the time, but the first time I saw Dennis, man, he came out to the Cardinals. He was a tryout guy. He came out with a damn red polo on. You know, he had that man bun. And I'm thinking in my head, like, good Lord, this kid's getting cut tomorrow. You know, me and him joke about that all the time. It's only four of us left from 2018. But just to see where Dennis is now, man, to sign a second-round tender, to see his work ethic, his passion, bro, I don't doubt Dennis for anything. Any single role that someone has for Dennis, whether it's lining up as edge rusher on third down, being the special team ace that he is, I have no doubt in my mind that Dennis will get it done. And you just see that from his passion, his work ethic, and his heart.
Yeah, you know what, Chase? You don't want to be an analyst. You want to be in the front office. Okay?
That's what I'm talking about. I got you. Job security right there for Wolf.
That's right. That's exactly right. You don't want to be an analyst. What are you talking about? Listen, what have you learned about James Conner?
Oh, man, great individual, bro. And obviously we're still learning. Our relationship is very early, and it'll grow as the season comes on. But just a great individual, man, and a hard worker, someone who wants to learn so much. And I love just, you know, helping him out with the playbook right now so he can really get up to speed, and so we don't even have to have these hiccups in training camp. I can't wait to really pick his mind even more. But James is someone, man, he's going to come in, blue-collar worker. He's going to work his tail off, and he's great for the team, bro. He's just so great for the team, and he's great for our room.
Awesome.
Man, how do you do that? But there's three guys in our business in this building. There's me, Doug, there's a guy named Vince, and a guy named Bernsey, okay?
Yes.
And all three of us are looking at a guy named Luke, knowing Luke wants to take our job. We know Luke wants to take our job. So because of that, when Luke walks around here, you know, I'm nice to him only if the other two guys are around. But I'm not nice to him when it's just him. And here's you talking so great about the guy that is, in a sense, here to replace you or fight for you for that job. Where do you get either the confidence or the desire to help? Where does that come from? Because a lot of football guys have it. And out here in the business world, none of us have it because we're scared to death. Where do you get it from?
Man, well, first and foremost, I think that's just how I was raised. I was always raised to do what is right. You know, we're all children of God. I'm humble. I'm blessed to just be here.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, James is the children of God, man, and I love that guy already. So I like to see and do what's right. And plus, I feel like when you give off information to someone, it's only helping you get better because you're reiterating it. And it can only help you take steps forward as a man and just as a player and as a teammate. And that's something that goes a long way, bro, and just with the culture of a team, where if you start having that selflessness around across the board, you know, everybody's getting better as one.
That's fantastic.
Where do you want to improve? Where do you want to improve? Where do you want to get better?
For surely my physicality. But I think the one thing that I want to get better is, you know, Coach Saxon always talks about, in this league, if you do something really, really well, you continue to showcase it. And if you do something, you know, that is your weakness of your game, you got to protect the hell out of it. And I think something that I do really, really well is just receiving out of the backfield. So that's one of my goals, is to really just establish myself as one of those elite backs out of the backfield as a mismatch for linebackers this year.
First of all, we are honored to have you. You were fantastic. Dude, don't change anything about your personality unless a guy named Luke is interviewing you. And then just dog it the whole time, all right?
Yes, sir.
Well done. Hey, best of luck.
Man. God bless you,
buddy. I appreciate y'all for real. Thank you.
Absolutely. There's Chase Edmonds. Are you ready to drive into work today after hearing that guy? Let's go.
Come on.
Chase Edmonds is a Cardinal. How fantastic is that? He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Cadillac, go to CoulterCadillacTempe.com and experience the difference. If you're not jacked up now, you should be jacked up even more about what happened last night for the Suns, not because of what they did, but because the signal it sends. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Drives the bus and Wolf sticks his head out the window. Doug and Wolf, mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Can you imagine if this is the time frame where you normally take vacation? You live in Chicago and you think, you know what? Looking at the schedule, you've never taken your kids to our nation's capital. So how about this? Cubs and Nationals are going to potentially the playoffs. Let's schedule to see the Cubs and Nationals the last weekend of July, and our kids can see our nation's capital. Here we go. And tonight, you don't have any idea who's on the field. The Cubs play the Nationals tonight, and they're trading everybody. These two teams are gutted other than Chris Bryant, and he's probably gone in the next 4 hours or so.
Just amazing. Rizzo. Gone. Rizzo gone. And not to the Boston Red Sox, which probably would have been a better fit to the Yankees.
Right. You're exactly
Unbelievable.
Right. Scherzer gone, even though he just pitched, so he wouldn't have pitched against the Cubs. And then Daniel Hudson avoided the Dodgers, and he's going to the Padres, but he's got to clear the COVID protocols before he reports to the Padres. I'm just laughing, thinking 6 months ago or 4 months ago, whenever the schedule came out, this Cubs National Series probably looked like a big deal, and now you're going to need if they still sell them, going to have to buy a program. Brian Windhorst on the Hoops Collective podcast. Well, he's got a reaction to the Westbrook trade, which obviously is something that has a massive effect on the Suns.
The feeling within the league now is that Chris Paul is going to stay put in Phoenix. Whether or not he is going to opt out and sign a new deal or extend his contract or whatever, the belief is that Chris Paul is not ever going to be on the open market.
This is amazing. Things that happened last night to massage any worrisome feelings of Phoenix fans, it would be a complete and utter shock to the system. Here are the Los Angeles Lakers who employ the best friend of Chris Paul and who are geographically located in the city where Chris Paul's family lives, basically giving up on Chris Paul and saying, we've got to go after Russell Westbrook. Why in the world would they do that if they thought they had a chance? And why in the world would the Suns trade a potential point guard who they could have drafted at number 29 and used him to develop in that position if they weren't totally sure that Chris Paul was coming back? On top of that, getting guard depth for somebody that you might not want as your starter, but you love and covet as a guy on the bench. You don't go after Shamet unless you know he's coming off the bench. Today, yesterday says everything about the future of Chris Paul without saying a word.
Ding, 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 ding. This is the reason why I absolutely love this. You know I love words as well. Harbinger is one of my favorite words. I love the fact that you can feel its meaning. Harbinger, right? A thing that announces or signals the approach of something else, a person or a thing. A harbinger announces the approach of something else, and that's why I love this right here, because Harbinger 1 was the Lakers trading for Russell Westbrook, that monster blockbuster trade, and then Harbinger 2 was what we saw with the Suns last night. What we saw James Jones do with number 29, trade the pick and get Shamet and bring Landry Shamet in. This is a guy that, again, I love this move by James Jones because it fits his MO. This move is so James Jones, is it not?
Yes.
Knowing the 29th pick in the draft was going to be a crapshoot, he turned the pick into a player that can help the Suns right now. And that's why you got so jacked up, because you knew what that meant. That meant Chris Paul is coming back.
So there's that aspect. Now, as you can imagine, James Jones met with the media after the draft, even though they didn't draft anybody. And he's going to do the same thing with us. He's going to talk directly to you this morning at 9:30. But there's one piece that you need to hear from him that has nothing to do necessarily with the draft, since it's the first time he met with the media since the four straight losses to the Milwaukee Bucks. He was asked during the presser about kind of the mood of the team. And he was asked, what did you learn about your team during the finals that helps you identify your priorities for the offseason to get back to the finals?
I mean, we have enough. You know, we have enough to compete at a high level. And every guy in this building, coach, myself included, we need to improve. We need to get better. We need to find a way to come back better next year than we were this past year. And our players, you know, they fight. You know, they're team first guys, and they're always willing and able to step up. We just have to be better. And I think we will do that. But now we're a team that everyone knows is dangerous. But our guys embraced that challenge. I think every guy on this team was crushed when we lost. But a day or two later, our gym was popping again, and guys were in here talking about how we can get better. And so that's refreshing, because I think our guys tasted the finals, and I think that's a kind of a thirst that I don't think that'll be quenched until we get back there and win it.
Your thoughts on that, Doug Grace?
You know, the Suns and I will always disagree on Dario Saric. There's just no way around it. They think he's a very important piece, and I am not a believer in Dario Saric. DeMarcus Cousins likes him. I do not. But I don't like him. But you know what I mean from a basketball standpoint. I think that there's too many other options out there that are better, that do more things. So when he says we have enough, obviously when you make it to the NBA Finals and you've got a 2-0 lead, that does mean something. But I think to finish the job, you're going to need some real energy at backup center, of which you don't have. The Suns will agree with me that we don't have that now because of Dario Saric's injury. So I don't necessarily agree with him when he says we have enough, but I understand what he's trying to say, and he's certainly right about that.
Why are you going to bring up DeMarcus Cousins? Why would you
Did anybody see what was going on?
You just brought that out of nowhere and metaphorically clubbed Dario over the head.
But that's the job of a backup center to be able to guard that their backup center, and he can't.
Why say that? Why say that?
Did you not
that
see
was
it?
That uncalled for. I saw it. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Next, what are we doing here? Are we going somewhere in this beautiful part of the program?
We already did, and at 7:42, we normally
rip Dario. And we normally move on with DeMarcus Cousins, of course.
Text rebound to 620-620. Wolf and I will spell it for you to receive an invitation to the exclusive basketball season recap Valley virtual event. Arizona sports host and other special guests will be a part of it. If you want in on it, text rebound to 620-620. This Valley virtual series is presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Coming up next. Is the newest Mike 1 ready to be Mike 1? Cardinals camp number one Zaven Collins conversation. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Rebound that basketball.
Training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold.
Hi, this is Zaven Collins. You're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Oh, yeah, this is where we coming at. Oh, yeah.
Let's go!
There's such a business-like approach, and that's been impressive to me. Guys like JJ, guys like Malcolm Butler, and then all the way to Zaven Collins.
Yo, Mike Backer, who's your quarterback, and that's Zaven. That's Zaven Collins.
He's planning on coming in there and starting game one.
Nothing's given. You got to earn everything, so that's just what I'm trying to do. Every snap, every day.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Wolf is there right now, State Farm Stadium, for the Friday practice. I'm here in the Octane Community Studios. Thanks for waking up with the two of us this morning. And Wolf, I think I've seen you in about three press conferences in 15 years since you have a different level of access, so there's no reason for you to join us in press conferences. The last time I think you were in one is when Ken Wisenhunt ripped you for not using sunblock.
Yes, I think so as well. Of course, his sternum was still hurting from when I broke it.
Oh, I see. But every good slam. I don't think he listens
Wiz,
anymore.
You know I love you.
I'm sure. I don't know if his wife still listens, or I'm not sure. But this is what you need to know: is there's moments, Wolf, in a presser where somebody asks a question, and I admit I go, "Oh, that's good." And you know, and I mean it perks me up to say, "Okay, what's about to happen?" And it happened yesterday. Vance Joseph, defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals, is meeting with the media, and there's a question that's asked, "What happens if Jordan Hicks outplays Zaven Collins in the preseason?" Ooh.
Well, we'll see. You know, and the best players will play, obviously, but right now, you know, he's been steady, he's been fine, and Hicksy is a savvy veteran. He's going to play good football, and that's good for us. That's a good, you know, good deal for us, because if Zaven does have some tough downs, we can slide Hicks in for a series or two and rest Zaven, have him watch and go back out there. So it's good to have good players. You know, so we'll see how it falls, but you know, it's our job, you know, to play the best players. You know, if Hicks or Zaven are the best players, they play.
Boy, that is really a difficult proposition right there for defensive coordinator Vance Joseph to deal with, because that's a real possibility going in. A real possibility that week one, mentally, Jordan Hicks, would you say Jordan Hicks has got more experience than Zaven Collins?
Oh, a little bit,
has
yeah.
Had.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Just a little bit, Douglas. Yeah. There's no denying that. And that's going to be so critical, getting everybody else lined up. It's one of the things we've been talking about over and over and over again, just how critical that Mike linebacker position is. The guy that not only with a green dot is calling the play in the huddle, he's also the guy that makes the adjustments and the checks much of the time. Now, Buda Baker will get that secondary right for the most part. They might even have him walk down into the box helping out Zaven Collins early on in the season, but that Mike linebacker is the guy that makes everyone else get lined up typically in the correct spot. A lot of times there's defensive linemen that are down in a gap, that are in the wrong gap, and you'll see a linebacker walk down and smack him on the butt, tell him, hey, get on over, you're in the wrong gap, or get into this technique right here. And that's something that Zaven Collins is going to have to master as well. And it's not just knowing what to do originally. It's knowing what to do when the strength of the formation changes, and now you've got checks as well that you've got to adjust to. It is a very, very difficult position, and Jordan Hicks has got so much more experience at that, and mentally is a guy that would be able to get everybody else lined up. But again, as long as Zaven Collins is calling the correct play, and as long as he knows the checks, I don't really think how he plays after that is really going to matter. I really don't. I think it's all a mental game for Zaven Collins.
I'm really interested in this. If you're a listener that's heavily involved in high-level coaching, you can text us to the FanDuel text line at 620-620, or even Wolf spending time as a coach at Phoenix College. I think one of the hardest things for any coach is, do you believe in this young man so much that you're willing to lose games over it? Because any one mistake could be the mistake that costs you a game. But if you believe so much in Zaven Collins' future, you can't be ripping him out every time he screws up. And that's what the context of that question was. Because what happens if Hicks outplays Collins in the preseason? It was because Vance Joseph said,
you have to.
You have to let Collins play through his mistakes.
You can't put him out there and he makes a couple mistakes and you bench the kid. You know, it may be a time where it's too much. We might have to sit him for a series or two, and that's okay. You know, but if he's ready to play week one, he's going to play. And if he struggles, we got to figure it out for him. But right now, he's the Mike backer, and he's doing fine.
Mm. You know what's interesting about this proposition as well? Jordan Hicks, like I said, there's no doubt about it. Mentally, he's going to be more advanced than Zaven Collins. He just is. He's got all of that experience. And not only that, Jordan Hicks, Basin audience, when you're talking about one of the smartest guys on this football team.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at Jordan Hicks first, I kid you not, he's playing Mike linebacker in the National Football League for a reason. It's because he's so bright and so smart. I will say this right here. I do wonder, we all know Jordan Hicks wanted to be traded, correct?
Correct.
Jordan Hicks, remember, he was given permission to go seek a trade. Do you remember that, Douglas?
Yes.
Jordan Hicks was given that permission to go out there, find a trade. That meant, hey, listen, your agent can pick up the phone and say, listen, we got a deal for Jordan Hicks here. You got to do something. You want Jordan Hicks? I mean, he probably called every team in the league, I would imagine, right now. I don't know what kind of deal they were willing to offer for Jordan Hicks, but I think it's also a possibility that the Cardinals could be looking at trading Jordan mm-hmm. Hicks, right?
I would Why think, wouldn't they? And maybe wanting to see a little bit of Zaven Collins before they do it. Vance Joseph was asked after practice yesterday, hey, what was the offseason like when you had conversations with Jordan Hicks?
It was really just talking through his role with the team. You know, he's been great about it, and obviously, it's business. You know, he understands that. And it's his job to show up and play well. You know, but he is motivated to play well and to earn his way as far as playing time. You know, and we can have a package where everyone's playing. You know, so that won't be a problem. But he's focused. He's here. He's working hard. And he wants to improve.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know what? It's a mercenary league. That's what I think of right here. It is. Bad things happen in the National Football League to people's careers from time to time. Sometimes it's the individual himself who causes the problem. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the organization that causes the problems. But disagreements happen. Do they not, Aaron Rodgers? This is something that is going on in every team in the National Football League. I'll promise you, there's some drama going on at some position in some room. We just haven't heard about it yet, maybe. But these are people. And anytime you're talking about people, you're talking about deficiencies. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about people that are going to engage in drama when tough situations come up. This is a mercenary league. It's one of the reasons why you can never lose sight of that. It's nice to think that it's a kumbaya, let's hold hands, and we'll all sing kumbaya in the locker room. It's nice to think that you've got great chemistry in that locker room. But you know what? Anytime you get a group of people in a paradigm like an NFL locker room, you're going to have problems. Hmm. You're going to have issues. And not all the time they're going to be solved in a very amicable way. They will not. It will be combative from time to time. And you know what? This is the situation. that Jordan Hicks finds himself in right now. There's one way out for Jordan Hicks. Ball out. Ball out, be the best that you can be, and force the Arizona Cardinals to do something with you.
Either
force
play you or trade
either
you.
Play. Yeah. Exactly right, yeah. Doug Lease. There's one way out for Jordan Hicks. Is it fair? No. Is it equitable? Maybe not. Is it the National Football League? Yes, it is.
Coming up next, I got two pages full of notes. You got the baseball trade deadline. You've got the Suns draft last night and the trade. You've got Ron Wolfley live at training camp. You've got amazing things said by Chase Edmonds earlier this morning. So what do you need? A Rush Hour reboot next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.